Amar Hashem al Moshe Leimer, and the Rebbeinu Shlomo said to Moshe, saying, Dabro b'nei Yisrael Leimer, speak to the b'nei Yisrael, saying, Isha ki sazria, for a woman will conceive a child, v'yolda zohar, v'toma shivas yonim, she will be tome impure for 7 days, ki mei nidaz dvoi sotit. Uva yayim hashmini yimro b'zara Allah. So on the 8th day, the orla of the child will be taken off. A lot of bris mean. So the Arachayim HaKadosh tells us over here, first of all, what's the mitzvah of a bris meal doing over here? This is, you know, there's no shaykh. We're talking about the dinei tumah of Isha, later on Taras. So what does tumas orla have to do with what we're saying over here? Secondly, the vav hachibur uvayayim hashmini, yimol b'sara losa, is mashma, that it has a connection with the tumah of the woman. What is the connection between the bris milah of the child and the tumah of the woman? So the Arachayim HaKadosh brings down a medrash over here, medrash Tanchuma. Medrash Tanchuma says that turnus rufus harasha. You know that in Chazal there were debates between turnus rufus harasha, the Roman general, and Rabbi Akiva. So turnus rufus harasha, yes, Rabbi Akiva, whose actions are better, those of HaKadosh Baruch Hu or those of a regular human being? So Rabbi Akiva surprisingly said, those of a human being. And then he came out and he showed him, Rabbi Akiva showed the Turnus Rufus stalks of wheat, and a nice baked challah. He says, which one was nicer? You know, this HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, this a man made. You know, she says, if so, if that's the case, if it's nicer, someone has a bris milah, which is a man-made thing. If it's an Aisha thing, why Taki did not Kodesh Baruch Hu make a person gemal to begin with? Like, why does he make the person do it? If this is, you know, nicer, Hashem should have done that. So Rabbi Akiva says, that's exactly, I anticipated your question, and that's exactly why I brought out the wheat with the bread. So Rachayim HaKodesh Mevarer, what is the marshal of the wheat with the bread? You know, we think it's a dover parshit, that in order to get to the bread, you first have to plow, and then you have to plant, and you have to harvest, and you have to pound, and you have to do all the malachas, 10 malachas, till you get to the bread. We think that that's a given thing. It's not like that. All the Marishan and Gan Eden used to eat fresh baked challahs, used to give off, it gave off fresh baked challahs from whatever, from the ground or whatever. Well, it said, lovey, the earth isn't going to give off fresh baked challahs every single day. Now, what's the pshat? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make it now that we have to plow and we have to do all of this work? This came about because of the klola of the chet of the Eitz Hadas. After the chet of the Eitz Hadas, there was a spirit of tumah that rested on the world that prevented it from giving off the fruits the way it should. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Bezeis ha'pecha teicha lechem." You're going to have to eat by the sweat of your brow. You're going to have to work hard, because that tumah is blocking that. So that's the very same reason why, and Rabbi Akiva thought, I'm sorry, Turnus Rufus HaRosha thought that the inyan of taking off the orla makes the person physically nicer. That's not what it is. It's a spiritual tumah that rests on the person, machmas the chait of the Eitz Hadas. So without the chait of the Eitz Hadas, Adam HaRishon was born mohu, and that's the way everybody would have been. But because there's a ruach hatumah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed that upon us, that we have to work upon ourselves. The taking off of the skin is only the beginning. We have to work on ourselves with the bad midas and to refine ourselves and to make ourselves better. This is what Rabbi Akiva meant to say. That under these circumstances, when the ruach hatumah is on us, then the human being's actions are better, because Imr Sashem Tzerufi gave us the mitzvahs to mitzaref ourselves, to refine ourselves, but only if we work upon ourselves. It's not going to happen in the mail. That was the dimyan between the challahs and the wheat and the orla. But that really is also the same reason of tumas yoledes. Tumas yoledes, the reason why a woman got a klola, be'etzav tel dibonim, that also came about because of the chait of the Eitz Hadas, that she had to have tzaleidah and he has to be tumas yoledes. So everything is connected with each other. She gets rid of that tumah and she's mitarah herself. Why is that? Because of the chait of the Eitz Hadas. Uvayoyim hashmini imot masara lasai. Now you have to get rid of the other tumah, and that is get rid of the arl and work on yourselves. And through that, that is the way the Yiddish mishpacha remains tahar, by man refining on himself and man constantly getting rid of the tumas that are on him. And that's the kesher between the two. Odom kiyye ba'or b'soroi se'es oy sapachas oy b'heras. A person will have in his skin different kinds of taras. V'hoye ba'or b'soroi l'nega taras. It'll be in the skin for a leprosy. It's not leprosy, that's not a good translation. It's a different disease in the skin. V'huve l'aren ha'koyin oy alachad mimon of ha'koyhanim. There was once a big asif in Vilna, gathering of Rabbonim, presence of the Chofetz Chaim, Rav Chaim Oizer, other Gedolim, to see what they could do to be Mesak and different than Yonim for Yiddishkeit. So the Chofetz Chaim got up and he suggested that they come out with a big kol koire, a big announcement for Shmiras HaLoshen. And to be madgish, that somebody that speaks Loshen Hara is mamish like Gidin Chazah. They should come out with such a declaration. And he quoted a Gemara in Shabbos. There's a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Hey, that says there is no one richer than a chazir, than a dover achir. There's no one richer than a pig, and there's no one poorer than a dog. The Pashtun Pshat is a pig, wherever it goes, it eats anywhere. The garbage is the worst things a pig eats. It has its food everywhere. And the dog, everybody chases away. So that's the poorest of all brias. But others teach it to mean there's no richer mitzvah than the Isra of Chazer. Chazer, woo, everybody runs away from Chazer. Chazer, shalom, I need Chazer. There's no richer mitzvah than that. But the Isra of Lashon Hara, where someone's compared to a Kelev, there's no one poorer than that mitzvah, because everybody thinks that, you know,
it's okay. That,
yeah, it's okay. It's deeper alone, words alone won't harm me. You know, there's no poorer mitzvah than that. He said Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to say that the reason why the Inyan of Taraz is right near the Inyan of Maichalos Asuris at the end of Parashat Shemini is to show that the Yisurim are equal. Yisurim are equal. Hainuach. So he wanted to come out with such a kol kairi. So kairi was right. Chaim Moshe got up and he said, please, please don't put out such a kol kairi. I'm afraid that it's not going to be mechazik the inyan of Lashon Hara. It's going to lessen the inyan of eating chazer. Because people say, yeah, it's only like Lashon Hara. You know. My father, Olam HaSholem, he was by one of these Yumei HaShas, Rav Gifter spoke, I think it was in Madison Square Garden, and he spoke. And he was matzia that the Magid Eshir of Daf Yomi, the last 5 minutes of the shiur, they should learn Shmiras HaLoshen. So my father's like, an Erlich Yid, you know, my Dibrei Chachamim. So he went over to his Magid shiur. It was very choshev, choshev. That time he was a younger man. Today, Baruch Hashem, he's an elder zayde. But and he told him, and he bought a whole bunch of Shmiras HaLoshens, you know, and gift the set to learn. So he started learning it the first week, and then afterwards he stopped. Father goes over and he asks, and Boston Gishan, he said, the Balabatim asked. That was the end of that. You know, it was a good idea. But that was a gift to his Matzia, that. Okay. Odon kiyye ba'or b'soroi se'esei sapachas hai maher. From all the einshim that are said in the Torah, you don't find an einish that so is paigeya. It so cuts into the self-dignity of a person. It's such a sensitive zach into his kovid, like the Inyan of Taraz. And Al-Khar, it's a pelodicate thing. Why should that be? It so mevaza him. It so embarrasses him. He's put me chutz la-machne. Chutz le-gimel machnes. V'tomei tomei yikri is to call, I'm tomei. And no one's allowed to come near him. It's a rum and not allowed to be in contact with each other. He's separate from his family. It's mamish, it's a bazillion awesome. Where's the Rachmanis? You know, we find even by someone that's chayiv misa. So when there's chayiv nisa, the Torah is chasan al solin nevlosi al aids, we're chasan al kvoide. And over here, the Torah is not chasan al kvoide. Why is that? So Sefer Shari Simcha brings down that that's a mistake in the way we look at this. You have to look at it from the right perspective. Anything is the biggest chesed for him. Why is it the biggest chesed for him? The Torah, this is not just meant as an oinish. It's meant as a warning signal for him. You're destroying your nefesh. So it starts out slowly but surely. It starts out with a neg of abayis, right? There was a neg on his house. He wasn't affected, he's not hurt, I don't know, nothing. He's continuing, he's talking Lashon Hara. He doesn't take it as a warning, a signal garnish. So then all of the leather, you know, all of the begodim in the house, they start getting filled up with tzaraas. He's talking away. You heard about what's going on? Oh, shit, I don't want to go into it, but it's unbelievable what's doing over here. You know, he doesn't take that as a signal. So finally, after everything, it hits his body. But not right. He doesn't become tummy right away. First, the skin turns white. Right? He doesn't become tummy right away. There's no simen tumma right away. It's on your body already. It was on his house. It was on his clothing. Now it's on his body, but it's not yet tummy. Right? So we're giving you the warnings. We're begging you, stop, do tshuva, please. Look what you're doing to yourself. And I get invited. So now already he's begetter of shayta asal rachim alav. I'll say a shaygin alav rachmanus on. Right? If anything, it was done with tremendous rachmanus. One aimbal. And we didn't give an einish right away. And what a second time. You know, he had the walls of his house knocked down. He didn't take that as a signal. The begotten with al zdinks. And afal pikein, he continues. So that we say that shayta asal rachim alav and memele. You know, it's not shat tzachson and our rachmanis lehepuk. That's having rachmanis on it. Zoyis tia teiris hamitzayra. The Gemara in the Sechtes Erech and Avtes Vav on the day says, kol ha-mesaper loshon hara, negoyim boim olav. He gets hit with negoyim. The Sifri says, he shomer b'nega ha-tzoraz. Watch the nega hatzaras. If a person's hit with tzaras, he's not allowed to cut it off. He's got to go through the whole process. And right next to it, it says, Zohar asher osa Hashem alekecha leMiriam. So this teaches me that why did Miriam, you know, get tzaras? She got it because of Lashon Hara. And we make a kal v'chaymer, not a Miriam, who spoke Lashon Hara against her younger brother whom she loved. And only Hashem heard. Besides, Aaron. Only Hashem heard, and afal pikein she got punished. Kal v'chaim is somebody that speaks against other people, that speaks against g'daylim imenu, and the word spreads, kal v'chaim, one can imagine what could happen to such a person. So the Chafetz Chaim asks a question, so why is it the Bizman is that we see people that are big bali lashon hara and nothing happens to them? If this is the natural result, this is the natural product of lashon hara, so why is it that nowadays we don't find such a thing? So Chofetz Chaim quotes a Medrash, but I'm going to say it over the way he explains it. He says, Pasha, in the times of the Beis HaMikdosh, we were shy for a person to get rid of Tzaraas, Alidei Kapora. So he went through the process, like we just said, it was a warning signal. Started with the house, went to the clothing, that didn't work, it went to his goof, and now he finally hits him, he does Tshuvah. He can go through it by doing tshuvah and by coming to the kohen, and the kohen says his Torah, and he brings korban medals things. Fine. But nowadays, if he were to get tzaraas, there'd be no way of getting rid of it. Right? There's no way of, there's no korbanos, there's no beis hamikdash, there's no kohen, there's no way of getting rid of it. So that's the case, he'd be left with it for the rest of his life. So in a way, it's rachmanis on him that he doesn't get the tzaraas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not embarrass him or rob him. He doesn't send him the warning signal. In a way, it's much worse because he's destroying his neshama more and more. And his neshama is going to be mechutz l'machin with all the worst kind of things. He's chas shalom not going to have any menucha. It's a terrible, terrible thing. So, b'zman zavitak, you don't have the embarrassment because you don't have the way of getting rid of it. Over l'maisa, it's a terrible, terrible thing. We'll say over a pachadik and maisa. I spoke in this yakov today, I didn't say it over. It's not from Beis Yaakov. I had it like a tchila written down in my shi. I decided against it. I said over a couple of other zachim. But it's a pachadik emaisa that I believe Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein said over. There was a woman that was niftara. And, okay, had the levaya. And the fellow that was by the levaya comes home and he says he's missing his wallet. Where did my wallet go? He's thinking himself. He was oisik with the kever. He was bent over. Shaykh that the wallet fell into the kever. What do I do now? He said, a shayl, is he allowed to dig into the kever to look for his wallet? He had money there, you know, whatever. So they told him to feel around the mound of dirt. Maybe it's in there. So he feels around the mound of dirt, bitten by a snake. Now he has to, he doesn't know where the snake is, what kind of potion he needs, or to poison the snake or whatever. So now he had another shayla. Are they allowed to dig into the kever to look for the snake? I think he asked Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, and they went to Rabbi Yashiv, and he said, yes, pikuach nefesh. They dug up the kever, and the snake was wrapped around the niftara. And apparently, she was a known woman that was oisik in Lashon Hara. And because I'll say it, you know, they weren't joking. Pachadik emaisa. Pachadik emaisa. V'tomei tomei yikra. The Tomei Tomei Yikra, the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, Tav Samach Zayin Manal says, if let's say a fellow has a tree that lets off its fruits before they're ripened, so what's the eisa for that? Well, it says you load its branches with stones and you mark it with a red marker. Mara says, Bishloima, you load it with stones, it's going to take away the koich of the tree a little bit, it won't be so wild in letting off the fruits. But what's the purpose of the red marker? The purpose of the red marker is, you know, there's a simonite, there's a tree over there that's not doing well, and people will be mispalafin. And Rashi over there says, they make it as a simon, like we learned, Vitame Tame Yikru. You have to be Maidia, your tzar, or rabim. And many people will be mevakesh rachmin for you. So Chaim Friedlander, Zatzal, asks a question like, what's Rashi comparing the two? You know, the tamei tamei yikra, a person's going through the worst agony and the worst bizyonis. He says, tamei, I'm tamei, help me. Here, a guy, the tree's giving off fruit. You know, he might be a rich guy. You know, it might be one tree amongst many trees of a big orchard. And Afal Pike, Rashi says, you know, you mark it off, dying with the tummy tummy yikra. So like, why is that comparison being made even? So I feel in this says we're making a mistake. We think that noisib oilam chaveiri means it's only a person that's suffering terribly. A person has to feel somebody else's tzar like it's his own. If you and you're feeling the loss, even if it's a little loss or nice, it's uncomfortable for you, right? So in Mele, you have to share in the tzar of other people. That's the lesson to be learned from over here. It makes no difference if it's a big tzar, if it's a little tzar. That's called Maisa Ba'olim Chaveire. I don't know if I ever said over this Maisa, but there was a very choshev tzaddik by the name of Avram Noach Palei. Zeich tzaddik l'bracha. Just recently, there was a story with a Palei family in Nebuchadnezzar Yisrael. Where the kids were, the father's name is Avram Leich Palei. I wonder if he's an Einikel. But this was Avram Leich Palei, way back, he was a Mashgiach in Hebron in Eretz Yisrael. He was still from Slobodka, the old country. And he suffered terribly from asthma. Hakadei Kachi going to coughing attacks till he recovered. He'd be in the middle of a schmooze, and all of a sudden he starts coughing, he'd have to go out. He wouldn't come back for a half hour later, 45 minutes later, whatever. So, okay, one time he's giving a schmooze and he starts coughing and he goes out right away. And a minute later, 2 minutes later, he comes back in. That never happened before. So they asked him afterwards, you know, like, what happened to us now? All of a sudden, everything went well. So he said, because when I went outside, I saw something that made me very happy, and that cured me right away. I said, what did he see that made him happy? He had I'm not sure if it was a Talmud or an acquaintance, a younger man that had a very large family. And he had no room for all the kids. And now he saw that they're building an addition on his house. So he said he had such hanah, that they're being avir his house. And unfortunately, you know, the coughing stopped and he came right back in. That's just someone that's nicer by Ilim Chaveri. You know, but that's the lesson to be learned from over here. I just want to say a little bit about the Yemei HaOmer. I saw a Moedik HaMaisa. Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, when he was a young Bacher, he learned in Pressburg by the Ksav Sefer. It was Amal V'Yogeya, you know, become Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, Stan Goyen Oilam. You know, Rav Chaim Brisker called Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld the Chakima di Yehudai, the Chacham of the Yid, and everything. Mamish, you don't become Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld without Amelus V'Yegiya. Anyway, he was Amal V'Yogeya as a Bochad Kedei Kach, that he pushed and got sick from it. He lost his kaikas and was worn out. So the Ksav Sefer was very concerned for him. So the Ksav Sefer arranged for him to go away on a vacation somewhere to a resort area. He arranged for him a place to stay, for travel arrangements and all things. He says, you gotta go. Okay, so he's supposed to go. Comes the next day, he's still in yeshiva. So Sefer's wondering, he goes, over my words, we made up these leaving today, you know. So he called him over, he says, my high, and I told you to go, what are you still doing here? And he knew the Rav Yosef Chaim listened to every word he said. He says, chas v'sholom, that I should be maharach a Rebbe, chas v'sholom, I should be going on the words of my Rebbe, and I still want to go on vacation. But please, I beg the Rebbe Rishus, the Yemei HaOmer now, please don't make me go during the Yemei HaOmer. The Yemei HaOmer, those are days that are mole riches. Please don't make me go during the Yemei HaOmer. Sefer saw the sincerity with which he said it. He said, okay, it got postponed till after Shavuos. It's Yaduah, the words of the Ramban in Parshas Emor. Ramban is in Vayikra, Kapitel Chav Gimel Posik Lamed Vav. Ramban is a lot of Kabbalah in that Ramban. I tried to look up the Pirush Tuv Yerushalayim on the Ramban, but he doesn't explain the Kabbalah Dikya parts. You know, he only. But anyway, but there's one chiluk over there. Look what the Ramban says clearly, that Pesach and Shavuos. Pesach is the first days of the Yontif, Shavuos are the last days of the Yontif, and the Yemei HaOmer is the Chol HaMoed. They have a tremendous Kiddusha, tremendous days of Kiddusha. They have Mamish, they're like Chol HaMoed. So it says in the Pesach, Svartim Lachem Imochras HaShabbos, Miyoyim HaViyachem Es Omer HaTzinufa, Sheva Shabbos Es Timim Es Tiyena, So the question is, Sfiras Omer, we know that the Sefer HaChinuch says, is counting towards Shavuos. When you have a day that you anticipate, oh, a chasana, my kid's getting married, or a sibling's getting married, you know, so you count towards that time. So here, Shavuos is the greatest day in the history of Klal Yisrael. So we count the days towards Shavuos. What's the connection to the bringing of the Omer? What shaykhs to the Omer? And it's called Sviras HaOmer, the counting of the Omer. So once so brought down, the Omer is when we acknowledge that all of our tzrachim are given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After we worked hard on the new crop, we can't touch it until we bring that Minchas HaOmer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that gives us our sustenance. After we've already acknowledged that Hashem gives us our sustenance, so now we count towards the day where we could accomplish what we have to accomplish with that sustenance. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us this? The name Kemach Ein Tayr. If you don't have Kemach, you don't have Tayr. And the purpose of the Ben Yisrael, Nefesh HaChaim says, it's brought down in the Svarim, the Malbim speaks about it, is to be Makasher, the two Olamos. They're supposed to take the Gashmi as this world and to tie it together with the world to come with Olam Haba. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us that sustenance in order to lead to Matan Torah. That's the way the Yemei HaOmer, the counting of the days of the Omer, are Makasha the two. I want to say over a last mice. I almost went out of my cave from it. It's an encouraging, elevating story, but at the same time, it's a pachadik story. There was a yid, this mice was set over, you know, as a sefer lekach toiv on Chumash, with Yisrael Yaakov Baifus. So he set over this mice, he heard this mice. There was a yid in Chicago, from a yid in Chicago. He had to take care of some business in some government agency. And a long line, and standing next to him on line is a Mexican guy who looks obviously Mexican. Mexican hears him speaking Hebrew. He asks him, is that Hebrew you're speaking? So he says, yeah. He says, you're Jewish? So he says, yes. So the Mexican starts tittering. He looks at him. So he says, you're probably wondering about my reaction. He says, you should know that I read the five books of Moses and I read the scriptures. And I learned over there that the Jews are the sons of God. This is the first time in my life I ever saw a son of God. So you could understand what my reaction is. So that in and of itself is something. How an Ernster guy looks at a yid, Pachad, a son of God. Wow, do we think like that of ourselves? You know, that's part one of the story. Then after a couple of moments, the fellow asks the yid, can I ask his honor a question? He says, yeah, go ask. He said, what does a son of God think of when he's walking in the street? He said, like, when I walk in the street, you know, I think of any Irish guy, any stupidity, whatever, that comes to my mind. But someone that's born of nobility, he's the son of God, you know, that's not the thing for him. So what does he think of? I'm not sure that he had the exact answer, the answer on the spot, right? What does he think of? But it gives us a new perspective of b'shivtcha b'leisecho, v'lechtcha b'aderech, v'sha'u. We're a different people. We're not just people that happen to be religious. We're a different sug. We are royalty. And that's a mashava that we have to work on ourselves during this period as we prepare ourselves for Matan Torah, that we are l'mayla min ha-teva and l'mayla, our whole halachelach has to be a different kind of a halachelach. I'm good in Shabbos.